This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
So thinking about a joyful King who's come for all of us, that's what we're wanting to think about just for this moment. There's a biblical counselor named Mike Emlett, and he writes this. He asks really this question: do you lament that moments of beauty, joy, and laughter in your life are so fleeting? It's like one of those Instagram videos of a toddler eating, eagerly smiling and accepting a slice of lime, thinking, oh, it's a new food, which gives way to a puckered and confused expression like, wait, what? So we all have those videos like that, you know, they eat the lime and then it's like, ugh! You know, their faces are all over the place. And moments of joy are too easily swallowed up by all kinds of intrusions, small and large in our lives. These joy interrupters could be the next hard thing on our rapidly expanding to-do list on a given day, or the shocking news of a loved one's cancer diagnosis. And whether they're minute or monumental, the challenges and griefs of life in this fallen world can quickly overshadow our perception of the good that God brings into our lives. So we know that this is good news of great joy for all people, and yet there's a distance in which we experience that. It's like the toddler eating the lemon. We think this is a great thing. It looks so appealing. We know it's true, and then we take a bite, and it's, whoa, that wasn't what I expected. That's kind of how our experience lines up with God. And I love that quote because that's our everyday fight to be joyful with this good news. And this almost gets exponentially crazier during the Christmas season, doesn't it? We have family, friends, coworkers, community needs, school activities, and all kinds of things that pull at our attention. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm running a marathon that I never trained for. I don't have the body of a distance runner, and I never signed up for that. But sometimes that's what we feel like we're doing. We're just nonstop running. So I want to point you to this one truth today that helps us have joy in this season. And of course, it's pretty simplistic. But I hope I can show you from the Bible that this power source for joy, it sometimes proves so elusive for all of us. And specifically, we know what these kids have celebrated for us today, that the joy of Christmas is found in a person, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the center. He's the one. So to understand how his arrival brings joy, I'm asking you to look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. So Isaiah chapter 52, in verses 7 through 10, there's this amazing passage here that kind of is unpacked for us. The prophet's helping people understand not only that they have wronged God, so that's maybe the reality some of you feel coming into this room. It's really the reality for all of our lives that we've wronged him. We've wronged God, and that leads to consequences in our lives. It did for these people. Because they had wronged God, they were carried away into exile in Babylon. But God's activity in responding to sin, he's extending comfort, and he's telling us that there's a king coming who's gonna deal with all this sin in our lives. He's gonna take the role of a suffering servant and lay down his life and die for us. So if you go back to like 51 verse 9, you see awake, awake. There's all these things that are trying to jolt our attention in this section. So 51:9 says awake, awake. 51:17 says, wake yourself, wake yourself. 52 verse 1 says, awake, awake. And then 52:11 says, depart, depart. So it's almost like the Isaiah's writing to us and saying, hey, get this. Wake up. Smart up. Think about this. Think about this. You know, so he's pleading with us to get these things. And so this passage that we're thinking about today really begins all the way up in verse 1. And it's there that the prophet's tone even changes. Here's a good description. Even in our present hardships, we can throw off a victim mentality and rejoice in the royal dignity that God has promised us. Just as Israel's history told a sad story of repeated losses, our future is going to be a glad story of endless grace for the honor of God's name. And then his people will forever know him as he truly is. He's present, near, and involved. So, that's where verse 6 ends. You're going to know me. That this is who I am. So listen to verse 7, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So there's really two encouragements that form one sentence that we're getting at. It's in your notes there, that the king's coming is joyful news for all. And it begins by just helping us see that the king's coming is joyful news. So in verses 7 and 8, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So that you know we're talking about a king coming, that's where verse 8 ends, about this Lord coming to Zion. If you're wondering what Zion is, think about the outpost, like if Jesus led like a biker gang. I'm not saying this is true, but just suppose with me for a second, like Jesus led this biker gang, Zion would be the outpost where that gang hung out. It would be where the king's reputation was notorious. It would be the place where he was the strongest, and everyone knew Zion. That meant the Lord was strong, and so if the Lord is going to Zion, it's like, whoa, he's coming to the place where he's strongest. He's coming to show his grace. He's coming to show his power. And so verse 7 begins envisioning this beautiful picture that upon the mountains comes someone bringing good news. It's kind of like, you know, they're coming and you can see that they're bringing good news. And then look at the connection about this good news, that it's news that's peace. It's news, it's good news of happiness. It's about salvation and it's centered on communicating that God reigns. I mean, those are all the things of life. Like that gets into the nooks and crannies of our lives. Like you, I'm drawn to these TikTok or Instagram videos where there's these things, like these people fixing things, and they have this amazing caulk that, you know, you can see what's going on. They pour it in there, and then it's filling up everything. And that's what's going on with this description of this good news that Jesus is bringing. It's like weeping into all, it's leaking into all the stuff of our lives. The places where we need peace, where we find happiness so elusive, where we just need salvation, we need rescued. And it's there that we see that God reigns. So right when we think we've grasped one concept, like, oh, there's good news coming, then there's another concept, like, and it's peace. And right when we think we got peace, our mind wrapped around that, it's good news of happiness. Oh yeah, of course it is, it's joy. So in verse 8 gives us more. If you look in verse 8, the voice of the watchmen on the city wall, they lift their voice, they sing for joy. So happiness and joy, they're singing for joy because this messenger with the news of victory approaches. And the culmination of this victory is the person himself, the king, that he's arriving. The king's coming then is joyful news. That's the point. Whether it's thinking of Jesus' first coming, like we celebrated this morning where he came and was born of Mary in a manger in these lowly ways, or thinking about how he comes in the here and now to encourage our hearts every day through his spirit, or how one day he's gonna return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Does the sight of him bring you joy? That's what this is speaking of, the good news. So I just read someone this week who put it this way. Intellectually, we know that God is with us, intellectually. But how would it change our outlook if we could see him with us in our everyday lives? Like God with us in our family. God with us in our finances. God with us in our pain. God with us in our whatever that is for you. He's there. He's there. The fact that Jesus came to earth is pointing to this good news, this joyful news that he's there. He's with us. He really is with us. And his arrival into the stuff of our lives, it brings joy and happiness. That's the fruit of what's gonna come in your life as you see him, as you encounter him. So the king's coming is joyful news, and it's joyful news for who? All of us. So look at verses 9 and 10. We have this command now to break forth into singing. To put it simply, what's happening in verses 9 and 10 is the people of God hear the good news and they explode with joy. So they respond with joy. The glory of Christ's reign reaches even to the ends of the earth. So I love the language in verse 9. It says, break forth together in singing. And then what's the next words? you waste places of Jerusalem. That's Old Testament prophet speak for you miserable scoundrels. You know, like you people who think you're way better than you are. We know the reality, right? The waste places, I identify with that. It's for people that are junky like me. People who don't have their act together. It's the waste places. Sometimes we wonder why all the well-off people get all the good stuff. And here God's telling us it's for people who are not well-off. The people who are in the waste places of Jerusalem, it's those who are far off and who need comfort and find it. So you break forth into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. In other words, he's comforted you. He's come after you. He's rescued you. Jesus would put it this way, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like, this is what Jesus does. And God's comfort comes through for his people, the ones he's purchased from captivity. So think about how far you were gone in your sin when God came to rescue you. And verse 10 tells us the picture that God has bared his holy arm. You know what that means? Like, he's got that, I think I used this illustration a couple weeks ago, like he's almost like he's got a tattoo right here on his arm that he wants everybody to see. Like, what's the purpose of having a sleeve tattoo on your arm if no one can see it? No, we get the sleeves because we want to show something. And that's God's bearing back his holy arm. As he pulls back his sleeves, what we're in awe of is he's so great and holy. He's set apart. There's no one like him. He's bared his holy arm before the eyes of the nations. So he's flexing so the world sees. So, I mean, this is how he works in the lives of his people. When you have no reason to be joyful except in God, the nations stand in awe of God. That they conclude God alone must be the spring in your step. Like, if we're just praising God when he gives us whatever we want, we're just like all the other selfish bums of the world. But when we're broken and we still have joy in the Lord, the nations are like, what's up with these weird people? They're happy now. And that's how God's bearing his holy arm. He's pulling his sleeve up and saying, I'm holy. I'm here for my people. And all the world is gonna see that I come through for my people, that they have joy. So too many of us sulk, and our only joy is found when we get our own way. And it's not bearing God's holy arm. It's not showing to the world that God's our joy. It's basically telling the world, God's my joy as long as I get what I want. And so this passage is inviting us into a way of joy that frees us from selfishness. Selfish life is how we all act when we're living, following an anti-God, when we're following ourselves. But he comes to save us from that. He comes to redeem us. Like, he bears his holy arm and reaches into captivity and pulls us out. This is what he does for his people, and it's a glorious thing. Can you not be joyful in that? Can you not see how that's good news? That he's even rescued me from me. Oh, thank God he's done that. The result is that God's salvation is universally recognized. God's salvation is rated E for everyone. It's like amazing news, right? It is. All the earth sees his rescue work play out. So this rescue is what's happened with the coming of Jesus. The good news of great joy for shepherds in the field was for all people. They went to Bethlehem to see this one who was called Savior, Christ the Lord. And that's what we're marveling at too. He produces joy in all the people he rescues. So today, that's what we've seen in this king's coming, in this king who was born for us. It is good news. His coming is joyful news for all people. And you might remember, I don't know what your favorite version of the Dickens Christmas Carol is. There's all kinds of them on TV. We have the 3D version with Jim Carrey from Disney now that it still seems pretty dark. I mean, it is a scary ghost story after all. The Christmas Carol. But remember how it begins, like the first line, I verified this just to be sure. Marley was dead to begin with. That's how the story begins. And that's how our story begins. that Phil Auxer was dead to begin with. And God came through to rescue. And God came through to rescue you. We were dead. We were far gone. We weren't impressive in God's eyes, but he came and rescued us when we were dead. He came and redeemed us. He sent Christ for us. We were in the wastelands without hope and without God, but he came near. He drew near to us. He gave us hope. The King came, and this is good news of great joy for all. So today, will you turn from your way to his? Will you turn from sin and trust in Jesus? Will you allow him to shape your joy? So I really want you to rest in him and the happiness he brings. Some of you, you're trying to be like a super good person and be very impressive, and it's draining you, and you need to give up and just trust Christ. Give up on trying to look impressive. You're not impressive to God. He's already got Jesus. You know, he's got enough. Trust in him. So look to him and find rest. In this season, let's be looking to him. Let's anticipate him. Let's seek him. And we will indeed find him. He's not playing hide and seek with you. You seek him, you will find him. For some of us, the issue isn't that we're selfish. I know I kind of pounded on that a couple times. The issue is we're hurting. We're beat down by this world. We're beat down by people in this world. The sight of the King's coming, we know that's joyful news, but like I said at the beginning, it's just elusive. And I think the reminder here that you can have from your King is that we don't have to languish in that hurt forever. That isn't what has to define you. Our King gets the final word. You might say, well, I might not get rescued until eternity. You know what? That's a great promise that in this light moment, this small moment, of like maybe 70, 80 years or whatever God gives you, he might invite you into suffering so that, you know, he can produce joy in you. But eternity, you get him forever. You get him. And I know that seems so pie in the sky, dreamy, if you're going through hurt right now. I just want to encourage you, fix your eyes on him. Like eternally, he's going to deliver. Eternally, he's got this. So keep leaning into him. He gets the final word. The end of the Bible says that tears are wiped away, that sin will be no more. This fight, this struggle is going to be over. We get him forever. The psalmist put it this way, that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what you get in eternity. So I just want to encourage you, persevere through this week. Persevere through this season. Look to Jesus. He's going to bring joy into your life. He's maybe doing it now in small measures, but he's going to deliver long-term to the full. Pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. Like, just not a taste of joy, a fullness of joy. That's what eternity is going to be. So today, we want you to know Jesus. And so we've made him known to you today. We love him. And we want to do all this so that you can glorify God and enjoy him forever.